He's playing like a Star Wars game on the PlayStation. He landed on what I thought was a dragon, but actually kind of looks like a naked mole rat with bat wings. First, can you hear me? What
What?
is that thing?
The game called the Gorgara? I've never heard of it.
It's called a Gorgara.
It's like a giant evil bat.
Would you agree with my assessment that it looks like a naked mole rat with bat wings? Yeah.
When you say naked mole rat, the only thing I think of is Kim Possible.
Yeah, it kind of does look like Rufus from Kim Possible, but like kind of evil,
Oh,
and its back
cool.
has like stripes on it.
I really want a screenshot of this now.
Welcome to the Ice Garden.
Vous écoutez the Ice
Ito
Garden.
ang Ice Garden.
Kwan ing the Ice Garden.
This is the Ice Garden.
Ice Garden.
Atem azanim ladan hakra.
Vous écoutez the Ice Garden.
This is the Ice Garden.
Dabro pa shala wet Ice Garden.
Bienvenido al jardín de
Welcome to the Ice Garden.
You're listening to the Ice Garden.
This
is the Ice Garden.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Top Shelf, where we keep the hot takes and the hard liquor. I'm Hannah Beavis, here with your co-host, Michelle J. Michelle, how's it going?
It's okay. I'm a little tired tonight, but
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm always tired, but like tonight I'm like especially tired.
Yeah.
Had like basically like a work truck was parked outside my apartment all night, and like
Ah,
I live on the
yes.
ground floor and my bedroom overlooks the street. I guess not overlooks, opens to the street. So it was there all night, so I didn't really sleep that well.
Is it
I actually
gone?
gave up and ended up going to the couch for a while because it
Oof.
was like actually because the like I mean, you know, you've been here, but like my living room is in the back of my house, so once we closed a bunch of the doors and like you couldn't really hear it as much anymore, thankfully.
Is it gone now?
It is. It left like midday today. It turns out that like so there's like a gas line underneath our apartment or underneath our building, which is like fairly normal. But there's a leak on a different part of the line.
Ah.
And so they were monitoring our end of the line to make sure that like it didn't like there were no problems on this end too. So they had to be out there all night because they had to check it every 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
But it was like kind of chilly, so they like leave the truck on, but like rather than it being like a normal car, they have to have it be like their big truck in case something happens. And it was like trying to sleep in a garage.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. It was super fun.
All
So
right.
I'm a little tired still. And then my dad called when I was trying to nap and yeah.
So
Didn't nap.
no napping to be had.
Yeah. But anyway, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We did not have a work truck outside our house today, so
Good.
that was good.
10 out of 10 would not recommend. Or 0 out of 10 would not recommend.
We're trying to get our driveway fixed, but I don't know if that's how that's gonna happen or if that's gonna happen. It's a little bumpy right now, so we need some either gravel to like make it a little bit easier, and then probably just gonna need to tear the whole thing out at some
Is
point.
it like paved or is it all gravel like mine is?
It was paved at one point. A lot of it is broken. It's not, there's like,
That's not good.
no, there's like two kind of lines where there was pavement, but a lot of it is cracked and broken and not ideal.
Yeah, that's not great.
Nah, so we're trying to get that figured out.
Yeah. Ours is gravel, so like whenever we make too big of divots with like from where like the car wheels go, we just like kick the gravel back onto it.
Well, that's nice though, 'cause you can do that.
Yeah. It just makes shoveling it like kind of annoying.
Oh,
You know,
Jesus.
because like you can't really like shovel it.
Yeah. You can't shovel it all the way,
Yeah.
depending on
You
how
just have
much
to
snow you
take like
get.
most of it off.
And just hope that you don't get some of the gravel too.
Yeah. It's
Oof.
super fun. I
That
love it.
would suck.
Well, my old apartment was like that, remember? In the spot you used to park in.
That wasn't
It was
gravel,
gravel
though.
there too. Yeah, it was.
On the road?
Well, the driveway wasn't,
Oh, you're right, you're right,
but
you're
then
right.
like where we parked our actual
Yes,
cars,
yes,
just
yes.
probably in the spot you parked in was like grown over, so it was probably more like parking on grass.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really remember it that much, but yeah. Are you drinking anything tonight?
I actually am. That's part of the reason why I was like the tiniest bit late was I was like, well, I'll drink tonight.
Yeah.
Partially also because I had coffee at like 1:30 when I was in the city downtown for something. Cause I was like really tired. So I was like, well, if I drink, that'll hopefully make me tired or tired enough to go to bed. Not that I'm not tired, but like, yeah, that was my thinking. So I am drinking canned rosé. The cans I used to drink all the time that are actually two glasses of wine or like half a bottle of wine. I am drinking the rosé version of it tonight, which I've had before.
Yeah.
Just as good as I remember.
I remember you talking about those before. They're pretty good.
They are. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a glass of Cabernet Sauvignon that I can't remember the name of it specifically, that I had bought before and couldn't remember if I liked it or not. But it was $6 at a gas station, so I bought it. And I took a sip, and I was like, yeah, this tastes like $6 wine at a gas station. So I don't know that I'll buy it again. Oh,
my God, Hannah.
What?
You bought gas station wine?
Listen, I was just happy that there was a gas station that sold alcohol, first of all. And then I was like, oh, I bought this at, like, a table and vine before because I recognized the label. So I'm like, okay, so it's not a bad wine. It's just a cheap wine. And I like some of the cheap wines I've gotten at Table and Vine. I just can't remember which ones. So I took a chance on this one. And it's fine. It's just not good.
Oh, Hannah.
I know. Listen, it's not the worst alcoholic choice I've made on this podcast.
It's not. Like, the time... It could be the time you put whipped cream on beer.
That is definitely... That's the low point, I think.
This is pretty close to it, though. You bought wine at a gas station.
I don't think so. No, no, no. There were wines. This was like, yes, it was a gas station, but like they had a wide selection, and there, like, I recognized several labels at the Table and Vine that I also used to frequent a lot.
Okay, so like when you say gas station, like, are you talking like a Wawa and Sheetz kind of situation? Where it's, like, also kind of basically a grocery store? Or are we talking, yes, like... So it's more like a 7-Eleven that also sells gas.
Yes. It's, like, it's called... Okay. I think it's, like, a Pride is the actual name of it. But, like, the store itself was pretty big.
Maybe call it something other than gas station wine from now on. Because when you say gas station wine, I'm imagining, like, the old man that works in the gas station, like,
no,
making wine in his... Like, no, behind the gas station?
No, yeah.
And, like, selling it on the counter with, yeah, some, like, janky labels and, like, a screw top that,
yes,
like,
yes,
doesn't,
Michelle,
unclick.
That's exactly what I bought. That's exactly the wine that I bought. You should, like, no. No. I would never.
I mean, I know that's not what you bought. But when you say gas station wine...
I'm just only going to call it gas station wine now, because that's what it is. I'm not ashamed of it. I bought this wine at a gas station. Deal with it.
Have we, do you watch, Schitt's Creek?
No, I don't, but I've seen a few clips of it. I know of it.
There's a really good, like, long-running joke about this winery that does fruit wines that are really bad. I was going to make a reference to it, but if you don't watch it, then you won't get it, so...
I've also had fruit wines on this podcast, I think, that I bought.
Oh, I've had fruit wines too, but this is like, they have like banana.
Ooh, no. Ugh.
Yeah. So I was just gonna.
You can make the joke for our listeners who have listened to it. I just won't understand it.
Well, I was gonna be like, is it a Herb Ertlinger wine? Which is the name of the winery. You should watch it. You would like it.
You're not the first person who suggested that. I think I need to. I just haven't watched a lot of TV recently. Who are you toasting tonight, Michelle?
Tonight, I am toasting Rachel Alanis. She recently played her 150th professional game. This spans her time with the Boston Blades, the Boston Pride, and now... with KRS Vankyray in the Russian Professional League. Mike Murphy wrote like a really good piece actually about her journey as a player, how she kind of has come out of her own at KRS Vankyray's and like made a name for herself over there, because like she was kind of for so long, even at her time in Northeastern in college, like was more of like a depth player or role player, Personally, she's one of my favorite players to watch. Mm-hmm. She's on the smaller side, but she's so strong, both physically, and I guess it also translates to being physically strong with the puck too. But she's one of my favorite players to watch. And yeah, her 150th professional game, which is nothing to blink at. And
I was trying
Mike also, go
ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, Mike also notes that she, depending on how KRS does, she could be the first player in the history of women's hockey to win a Clarkson and Isabel and the championship in the Russian league. Don't know if it has a name or not, but
that'd be awesome. That'd be
right,
super cool. Yeah, I feel like Rachel Lalonde is like, she is a very underrated player. That, like, as far as being a depth player, she's a really good depth player, and that, like, she is always where she needs to be, whether it's to, like, forecheck or backcheck or do whatever it is she needs to do. And for KRS, like, having a player like that who can help coach, like, the rest of their team has got to be super helpful. Like, and she's also, like, a really intense, like, physical trainer, too, like, coach-wise. Yeah. Which is awesome.
She's super smart, like you were saying. Like, her hockey sense is really strong, and I think that's really helped her in when she went to China and played for KRS first when they were in the CWHL. She was part of that, like, ambassador class, which I think she still might be, where she was, like, really responsible for training the Chinese national team players, you know, getting their nutrition up, getting their conditioning up, getting, like, their strength up. I think her ability to have that much of an impact on the players as well as on the ice just, like, speaks volumes to Rachel as a person and as a player.
Definitely. Cheers to her.
Cheers. I was about to move on and we didn't even really technically say cheers. Who are you toasting this year?
This year?
Nope. Today, this podcast, this week.
I guess it is technically like a seasonal toast. I'm toasting Long Island University. It's their first year in existence for the women's hockey team, and they won the NEWHA conference championship in their first like season as a team. There's also, like, interestingly enough, like a KRS connection a little bit to that too, because their coach/GM, like, who helped put the program together, is Rob Morgan, who also used to work and coach with KRS.
Do you know who their assistant coach is?
I do not.
Former NWHL Whale player Sam Faber. I don't know how to say it.
Faber?
Probably Faber. I don't know why I said Faber.
I don't know. I don't That's either. Awkward. Sam Faber.
Just got a little French with it.
Faber, the most French name.
I know.
Fabe.
Can't say Poulin. Can't say Fabier.
Cheers to LAU for winning their first conference championship, and here's to many more.
And many more. Another, like, little fun thing about that, I guess maybe it's a cheers, I don't know. The team they beat,
Take a minute, take a deep breath, and try it again.
Sometimes my brain gets too far ahead of my mouth, and I, like, it just all falls apart. St. Anselm.
Anselm. What's it? The Anselm.
St. Anselm, actually, to get to the Neuhaus Championship, played, like, 5 overtimes.
Oh, shit. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
On Friday night. They ended up moving the Neuhaus Championship game back, like, in the day. Like, they moved the start time back because they had played for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, to give them more time to rest the next day or the day after. It was a record, like an NCAA record for longest game. It was like, which is ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's really just brutal that, like, you know, you win the 5 overtime game and then lose the championship. But still impressive. Another cheers to that.
Yeah.
5 hour
just
times is
cheers
no joke.
All around.
To Nuha. Also, cheers to Nuha having such a cool name.
That's a yeah. Very, the New England Women's Hockey Association.
Makes me think of Finding Nemo. Nuha. Ooh-ha. Instead of shark bait. Ooh-ha.
Nuha. Ooh-ha.
You're welcome, Nuha, for your new conference cheer.
Your new ha conference cheer.
Oh, I didn't even make the connection. Oh, that was good. I think we just need to end the podcast. I don't think we're going to be able to top anything.
Yeah, sorry, guys. It's all downhill from here.
That's all. Yep, that's all for today.
Michelle can't say his college names. We make up a new cheer. We're done. And scene.
So, you know, usually I feel like on this podcast, stuff comes out after we record, and so it becomes a little bit dated. But today, we got some fortuitous timing with Team USA's World Championship roster, which was released just this afternoon.
I literally think this is the first time that we've ever been like, oh shit, what the fuck are we going to talk about this week? And then, like, the hockey gods grace us with something.
Mm-hmm. They're like, here you go. And we're like, wow, thank you. It only took us almost 90 episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the USA World roster is out. Michelle, we were talking a little bit before, like, the show, and you were talking about how it was a weird roster. And I'd like to hear you elaborate a little bit on it, because I didn't think it was super out of the ordinary.
Yeah, I still think it's a weird roster.
Okay.
So I guess maybe before I talk about why I think it's so weird, we should talk about, like, who is on the roster, maybe?
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, you have your long time, I don't know. Is long time the right word for, like, least Ekline?
I feel so. And, like,
Kayla Barnes.
Mainstays, maybe? Like, you just want to go down the list and read so that people who maybe have not seen the roster or need a refresher. So, we have, for the Defenders, Lee Stecklein, Kayla Barnes, Megan Keller, Emily Matheson, Megan Bozek, and Casey Bellamy. Goalies are Aaron Frankel, Alex Cavallini / Rigsby, and Maddie Rooney. Oh, excuse me, Savannah Harmon is also a defender. And then for forwards, we have Kelly Panik, Abby Rock, Brianna Decker, Haley Skamura, Jesse Comfer, Hannah Brandt, Hillary Knight, Danny Cameronese, Alex Carpenter, Kendall Coyne Schofield, Amanda Kessel, Britta Curl, Grace Sumwinkle. That is it.
So when I looked at, like, the 2019 roster as compared to the 2019 Worlds roster as compared to the 2020 Worlds roster, I just found it, like, pretty interesting, the college kids that they decided to take versus who they left off.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2019, Sydney Brote, Melissa.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if it was Melissa or Marissa, and they both sounded right. Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa Samoskevich, Annie Pankowski, and Emma Polsny. I don't know why I'm making up people's first names. and Emma Polsny, who's a goalie. They were the four college kids who were on 2019 who were not on this, the 2020 roster. Shelley Picard was also on that roster and is not on 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones they, the players they did take from college this year are Britta Curl, Grace Sumwinkle, Abby Roque, and Aaron Frankel. And I just, the three position players, I guess, and even Savannah Harmon.
Yeah.
Like, all four of those players were, like, kind of surprising for me to see in the roster. Especially when we lost, like, Samoskevich, quote-unquote lost, Samoskevich, Pankowski, and Brote, who, I mean, like, Pankowski had an incredible World Championships.
Mm-hmm.
Last year. And so, like, to see her omitted from this, especially after she played so well in the rivalry series. And I guess maybe, like, she might have gotten hurt at the rivalry series, but, like, I don't know. There's just, that's the big one that made me go, hmm.
Yeah, Pinkowski, I think, for me, is the biggest, like, snub of this roster. Basically, like, it's interesting to me that, like, basically we just swapped out four college players with four different college players. And I understand, like, Britta Curl and Grace Zumwinkel and Abby Rock played, and Frankel played during the rivalry series. So I guess if they're, like, scouting reports have changed on, like, Brote or Sam Miscavige, like, Pankowski should be on this roster, hands down. Mm-hmm. I think probably instead of, like, Grace Zumwinkel or Britta Curl. Harmon, to me, is a surprise. I don't know if I would have picked Picard to take her place, but I'm a little surprised that she was a defender that they decided to go with. I think the rest are, like, pretty solidly locked in. Although, another surprise on this roster, Jocelyn and Monique Lammer both did not make the cut. Mm. So that opened up a couple spots, a forward and a D spot.
You know, for so long we've talked about how, like, this is the beginning of, or, like, still early in a quad. And it is, technically. This is only the second World Championships we've had since the 2018 Olympics.
Low-key, though, they're centralizing next year. Like, I was thinking about that today, and I was like, I know. Holy shit. How have we already gotten this far?
Well.
You know, like, we have one more season, and then it's going to be a centralization year.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, like, one. Okay, yeah. I thought you were talking about next season is centralization year.
No, sorry.
So, we, like, we have one more world cycle before
centralization,
which, like, I think that's, for me, that's the bigger tell as to what, like, Olympics might look at. Mm-hmm. And I think I might go back after this and look at what the 2017 Worlds roster looked like.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good idea.
But, like, I was just surprised by how many long-time people that, like, might not need looks were on this, but at the same time, how many, like, I'm having a hard time describing this. Do you know what I mean?
I think, for me, that's not a huge shock to me. I think for rivalry series, I'd feel that way. Like, we don't need to see, like, Hillary Knight, Kendall Coyne, Brianna Decker, Casey Bellamy.
But for that, rivalry series to me is less about the end result and more about the fans. And maybe USA Hockey doesn't feel that same way. But, like, you have to have, if you want to sell the arena right now, you have to have Hillary Knight in there. You have to have Kendall's
points. Agreed. I'm not saying I don't think they should sit, but, like, the World Championships count in the IIHF rankings. So, like, you want to win. And especially because this is kind of in the middle of the quad, like you talked about, like, there's no, like, we can talk about wanting to see what the young kids look like to play with all you want, but, like, you want to win gold. Like, this is true. It's not leading up to the Olympics. It's not immediately after the Olympics. Like, you want to win.
I guess I was just mostly surprised that, like, you know, we didn't see Pankowski on here.
Yes, agreed.
I wasn't surprised about the Frankel. I wasn't surprised about Frankel over Emma.
Polsny. Where is Nicole Hensley? Paging USA Hockey? Where the hell is Nicole Hensley?
Okay, that's what also I was going to bring up is where is Nicole Hensley? Callie Flanagan hasn't been on a IIHF roster since the 2018 Olympics. Also in that group is Gigi Marvin.
Yeah, that's another one who I'm like, I think we could have had her.
The Lamoureux twins, but in 2019, they were both, like, recently had children. And Megan Duggan, we also haven't seen since the Olympics, but we also know that she was she's currently expecting, and one could assume prepping to be expecting.
Prepping to be expecting. Well, she's pregnant. Mean, like, she's having a baby. Well,
no, like, in 2019, sorry.
Okay, yes.
Like, because, like, I mean, like,
I thought you were talking about this year, as in like she's currently prepping to have a baby and I'm like pregnant. No.
Like in 2019, like because for her it's different than the Lamoureux, you know, like
yes.
It's a much different process. It can't just like happen.
Mm-hmm. And I think I was wondering if the Lamoureux would be like physically ready to play by Worlds. Like they didn't look great during the rivalry series, but like they are coming back from like having kids. So I was hoping that maybe by the time April rolled around, they'd be more physically ready to go. But I guess we're not going to get a chance to see. Also, Sydney Morin is not on this roster and has not been on. She wasn't on Worlds last year.
She's not.
She's only been there since the Olympics.
Oh, Amanda Pelkey is another one of those.
That one surprises me a little bit less. I think she's kind of more of a bubble player, who we could slot her in on here. But I don't. I think if you want to give more like younger college players looks, then Pelkey's probably going to get bumped for a college kid.
Same with Skarupa.
Yeah, Skarupa. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, I cut you off too.
I was gonna say Skamura getting a spot on here was nice to see after she did pretty well at the rivalry series.
I hadn't really thought about this until like we started talking about it, but like the Savannah Harmon edition is just fascinating for Worlds.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know.
I mean, like, I'm all for it too, because like Savannah definitely played her way into the national team program through the NWHL,
mm-hmm.
which is like awesome to see and like what you want to see.
Yeah, but so did Michelle Picard,
and now Picard she played her way back into the system.
Yeah,
because Picard has a silver medal from the 2014 Olympics.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
And I was, to be completely honest, I was a little surprised when, Shelley was added back into the mix. Not that she wasn't deserving, but like we don't really see Team USA or even Hockey Canada really do that, like take a player who was on an Olympics team a full cycle ago and like bringing them back randomly. I guess reinstate isn't the right word, but
yeah, I get what you're saying.
I don't know, I was thrown for a loop by this roster, given like what we've heard Bob Corcoran say about like Pankowski.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm wondering, he's the coach, right? But he's not the GM. So I'm sure he had a say in what players he wanted, but ultimately it's not his decision to make, which kind of sucks as a coach, because like, you know, if you want a player to play, you have to work with the roster you're given with, you know, not with what you want. I don't think this is Pankowski's last time like being on a roster. It shouldn't be. She has the ability to make a roster in the future. I think Zumwinkle was probably the biggest surprise for me. Britta Curl, I thought she played well during the rivalry series, so I'm not like, it's not like a total surprise that she's on here. But I'd consider her a bubble player the same way that Harmon is. The goalie situation, though, is really, it's just really tough, because you've got, I say right now, five really good goalies in Maddie Bruni, Alex Rigsby, Nicole Hensley, Erin Frankel, and Katie Burt. And you have three spots open.
Yeah, and like, I mean, Hensley didn't get a ton of playing time at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Which she did at Worlds in 2017 when we were there.
Right, exactly. And that's, I guess that's what is most surprising to me, is that she has shown that she is capable of playing starting minutes, but since 2017, she's been relegated more to like a backup role. And part of that may have been like at the 2018 Olympics, Rob Stauber was familiar with Maddie Bruni and had coached her before. So like maybe that's someone that you would lean on. And Alex Rigsby is Alex Rigsby, and like has played to like what she's capable of, and when she's very good, she's very good. Like all of these goalies I think are deserving. It's just, it's really hard to make a decision. Like Hensley hasn't gotten a lot of playing time. It's tougher too in context with what's going on with the BWHPA. Yeah. and not getting consistent. None of these players, except for Rooney, are getting consistent minutes. Well, you know, and Frankel, because those are two NCAA goalies. So that's kind of an interesting look.
As you were talking, and as we kind of like looked back a little bit farther beyond 2017, do you know what Nicole Hensley kind of reminds me of, that situation with her and like the USA goaltending is?
What?
Emerence Mashmeyer and Hockey Canada's goaltending situation.
No.
I mean, like, except for I think Hockey Canada's younger goaltending isn't quite as strong as USA Hockey's, where they just have like Hockey Canada's goaltending is tending a little bit older right now. I mean, you have Shannon Zalatos, who 2022 would be her fifth Olympics.
Jesus Christ.
Right?
I don't know.
Fourth? It would be like up there.
If it's her fifth,
it'd be like close to her. It'd be close to a record. I can spell Shannon. I'm looking this up right now, how many Olympics she's been to.
Because
it's going to bother me.
Yeah.
And you have Shannon, you have Anne Renee, and you have Genevieve Lagasse.
Yeah.
And then Emerence.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's just so, like, because I feel like we've talked about this before, too, is that Emerence was so strong in, what, the 2017 Worlds or 2016 Worlds?
2016. She was just, I mean, I think she was, I don't think she was the main goalie in 2017. I think that was Shannon. But in the 2016 World Championship, she was in the gold medal game, and she was just lights out.
Yeah. It'll be 2022 would be Shannon's third Olympics, I believe.
Okay.
If I can count correctly while I'm also talking to you.
I almost had a heart attack when you said five. I was like, she can't be that old. She can't have started playing the Olympics when she was like 10.
Her first Olympics was 14. Oh, no, it was 10.
I was going to say,
1, 2, 3. Yeah, okay. So 18 was her third Olympics.
Okay. So 2022 would be her fourth.
Yes.
Okay.
And, like, I just, it just, the Nicole Hensley situation just reminds me of Emerence, but Nicole Hensley has more current competition where I think we could see Emerence make a bigger difference sooner rather than later, especially because we haven't seen Shannon Zalatos since Isabel.
Yeah.
She hasn't been in any rivalry series.
Have we seen her in any PWH?
In any PWE? No.
Is she hurt? Do we know? Or is she just not?
She got hurt at the end of the NWHL season.
I
had not heard of how much or if she still was.
Or like any, do you know any specifics about what it was?
I could probably look it up. I just don't remember off the top of my head.
I didn't know if it was like a concussion or something that might have her on longer turn.
I think it was like, I don't even want to say. Something in me says it was like a re-injury of the injury she had the last time she was like very quiet about what was going on. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I guess we don't have Hockey Canada's like roster yet. USA is the first team to get their world's roster out, but I'm wondering if she's not on that world's roster, that maybe that might be it for her. If it's an injury issue. Or, I mean, she's been to three Olympics. She's got two gold medals, one silver. She's had a really long and successful career. Like
broken barriers.
Mm-hmm. And you have, I think, you make a good point, Michelle, with like Mashmeyer being a kind of current goalie, whereas I'd say Zabados and Lacasse are more like towards the twilight of their career, so to speak. Whereas with Team USA, I mean, Rigsby could maybe retire at some point, but Rooney, Hensley, Frankel, and Burt are all going to be competing with each other throughout their career.
And that's just, like, that's such a tough spot to be in. To know that, like, every tournament really only has three spots. And you've got four really solid goaltenders. You've got Rooney, who's backstopped you literally an Olympic gold medal. Hensley, who's done really well in international competition when you put her in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, Frankel and Burt are definitely more untested in terms of, like, IIHF games.
Mm-hmm.
But they've both looked really good in rivalry series games we've seen them in.
their NCAA play, I'd say, has earned them a look, at least, mm-hmm. at the Team USA level. And maybe that's something that's going to be worth watching, is waiting to see how they do play at the IIHF level. And, like, I don't... With this, I'm going to be interested to see if Frankel gets any games. I could see her maybe in one, but I think Rigsby and Rooney are probably going to be the 1A, 1B goalies in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, looking at, like, USA's... I mean, USA goes into this in Group A, so they play Switzerland, Finland, Russia, Canada in the prelims. Mm-hmm. Not to say that, like, Frankel isn't up to the task of that.
Right.
But, like, where do you give her a first look? You know, like, you don't want to throw her in there against Canada or even Finland.
No. I don't
and,
even...
like,
yeah.
Russia's a tough one because they play super physical. I feel like Russia plays the most different style of hockey out of all of these teams.
Mm-hmm.
It'd
be cooler to see her against Switzerland because you've got players like Elena Mueller that she's maybe seen.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
In the NCAA, right?
Yeah.
Like some...
You mean in practice.
Yeah. Yeah, in practice. That would be great. I'd request that. I don't know if that's how it works. If you could go up to your coach and be like, hey, I don't know how much of a say I have in this, but this would be
bragging. Can I just get, like, one shift in?
This
like,
would be
can
some...
we just do, like, what the defenders do and I'll just, like, skate out?
Oh, my
out
God,
one.
Yes. Can we get a penalty shot with Alina Mueller and Aaron Frankel one-on-one?
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, man. Bragging rights for, like, the rest of your lives, basically.
I know. Especially because... Sorry, I had the mini hiccups. They would both have to return. Aaron still has another year, right?
I don't know if she's a senior or not. She might be a senior.
I don't know. I lose track of where everybody is.
Let me look it up real quick. No, she's a junior.
She's a junior. So she and Alina would have another season together in Northeastern, which would just be really fun.
Yeah.
The Ice Guard.
Do you want to move on to Patty Cass?
Yeah, I think that's actually a perfect segue talking about Aaron and Alina into Patty Cass because they are both 2020 top 10 finalists, the only two Hockey East finalists.
Yeah. So before we jump into it, so we've got the 10 finalists for the Patty Cass. They are in alphabetical order: Jamie Bourbonnais, Lindsay Browning, Sarah Fillier, Aaron Frankel, Elizabeth Jagir, Emma Malte, Alina Mueller, Abby Rock, Sophie Shirley, and Daryl Watts.
You know, I've been saying Emma Maltese this entire time in my head.
I'm not really sure how to pronounce it, TBH. That was a guess. Of all the names on here, hers is the one that I'm not totally sure. Sorry, Emma, for mispronouncing your name. So this shakes out to there are four WCHA players on this list, two Hockey East, four ECAC, and no CHA this year. Or new Ha.
This, yeah. What did you think of this?
I thought it was a pretty solid list. It's tough because I think there are a lot of the competition level in the NCAA, I feel like, is really high. Like, I don't have the past rosters pulled up, but I remember looking it up when they first announced these names and noticing that there were some who weren't, like, on here that surprised me.
I think these are who everyone expected to
mm-hmm.
have be nominated, but not necessarily, like, let me rephrase that. This is who everyone would have expected to, but I expected unexpected players.
Yes.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
who else for you did you expect?
I guess for me, like, Emma Maltese, who's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, wasn't expecting. I thought, like, another player would be in her spot, and I just noticed that I spelled Sophie Shirley's name wrong in an article.
Ooh.
Sophie Shirley was also one that I was, like, a little surprised to see in there. just purely because I thought maybe like just being a sophomore.
But Sophie Shirley has also won Rookie of the Year in the CWHL. Like,
CWHL,
when she played before she went to college.
Oh my god, I totally forgot. It didn't sound right to me. I thought you were trying to say the WCHA.
No, the C-Dub.
I don't know why that was weird. Anyway, moving on.
I guess here's someone who I'm a little surprised isn't in here. JC Gebbard, who's a senior from RMU. She's currently third overall in scoring. Like, I think she, if you're giving players like Brittany Howard, a look in the past years, like, I think JC deserved to be at least in the top 10. I know Gab's Fundero was talking about, I think, Gabby Hughes and someone else who should have been on this list. I mean, there are players like Chloe Arard, who I thought probably could have had her name in contention, Sarah Potomac, Zom Winkle, Sammy Davis from BU.
I don't think you can put Jessie Comfer on here, just given that she missed half a season.
And that's a name that I think it's fair that she's not on here, but it is a name where I'm like, I would expect to see her on here.
I feel like you expect to see her on there for her name and not necessarily like the fact that she missed like significant time. I could see the argument for putting her on here because when she came back to BU, they really turned their season around.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it then leads into that conversation of like, this is essentially an MVP award.
Mm-hmm.
And is it the MVP of the entire league? Or is it the MVP of their team? You know what I mean?
That's my favorite question ever for the Patty Cat. it's hard. It's hard to know, right? Because I feel like that would change the winners.
Yeah. And I feel like, I mean, maybe the selection committee, which is actually just every single NCAA Division I coach, maybe they have certain things they're told, like there's criteria given to them in that, you know, it's not the MVP of a team. Mm-hmm. Because basically how this list is chosen is that all the Division I coaches are asked to nominate players.
Mm-hmm.
Any player that's nominated more than once gets put on a ballot, which goes back to the coaches. And then the top 10 vote getters are the top 10 finalists.
Right.
So I just, you know, Jessie Comfer could be on this list because she's proven that she's possibly the most valuable player for BU based on how they turned their season around once she came back.
Mm-hmm.
But then that also begs the question, like, where does Sammy Davis play into that equation as well?
Right.
It's just, I don't know.
For me, I think if we're looking purely at a player's potential or her skill level in general, then I feel like this list looks different. But for me, I think what is important about the Patty Cats is that you look at a player's season that they had. Mm-hmm. Jessie Comfer deserves to be on this list based on talent alone. But if you look at her season as a whole, she did not have a complete enough year, I think, to be on this list. And I think that's what I like about the Patty Cats is like, because if you have a really good season, you deserve to be on this list. Like, even if you're potentially not like a game-changing player, like someone like Comfer might be.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was both surprised and not surprised.
Yeah. I don't think there was anybody on here who really, like, shocked me.
No. Nobody on here shouldn't be on here.
Yes, yeah.
I think, I mean, for me, like I said, like, Emma Maltese is probably the biggest quote-unquote shock, though she does deserve to be on here.
Mm-hmm. We have three sophomores. Sarah Fillier, Alina Mueller, and Sophie Shirley. We have one goalie, Erin Frankel.
Two goalies.
I can't count. Okay. Two goalies, excuse me. Erin Frankel and Lindsay Browning. One defender. Jamie Bourbonnais.
And that makes seven forwards. I only know because I already did the math for an article.
We have, so four, no. three players.
Five juniors.
Yeah, five juniors. Three players, Sarah Filliet, Elizabeth Jaguar, and Alina Mueller, were in the 2019 top 10 as well. And Daryl Watts won in 2018. And we have not had a two-time Patty Kazmaier winner since Jennifer Botterill, who was the only player to do it while she was at Harvard. Do you think...
And Daryl would become... obviously, Daryl would become the first player then to win the Patty Kaz at two different schools.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Because she's wild. Now at Wisconsin, yeah. And she's a junior. So, like, hypothetically, she could win it again next year. And be the first three-time winner.
You know, we talked about this with Gabs. I don't know.
I'm not saying that it will happen. We don't even know if she's going to win this year. I'm just saying it could. The fact that she's a junior. Also, Elizabeth Jaguar, who's on here, she's been on here, I think, every season for her so far. This is her third time that she's been in the top 10, and she is a junior as well.
She's just been, like, lights out, though, her entire career.
Mm-hmm. So. And Clarkson has been very good, and she's had very good line mates as well. And she's just a very talented player. Like,
oh, yeah. Just everything. Mm-hmm. All around, yay. Mm-hmm.
Do you think, because as far as, like, a points-wise go, and this is another thing that's kind of an issue, I think, with the Patty Kaz, is it's so hard for a defender to win, because I think what it becomes kind of is, like, who has the most points. It is usually a forward. And so then that kind of puts a lot of pressure on, one, goalies, who have to then have just an absolutely, like, incredible season to win or to be put in the top three. But also for defenders, who, unless you're an offensive defender, like a la like Megan Keller, then how do you measure that? Like,
I think it's really tough to measure, like, what a defender can, like, it's just tough to measure a defender. I mean, only one defender has ever won this award.
Right.
It was Angela Ruggiero in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Megan Keller was in the top three.
Got freaking robbed.
Last year.
Freaking robbed.
No, I think Annie Pankowski got robbed.
Then you know what? That's true. They both got robbed. Sorry, Lauren.
We should have just had a three-way tie.
No, it should have been Megan Keller and Annie Pankowski. No, Lauren Gable deserved it too. Yeah, you're right. It should have been a three-way tie.
But and I mean, like, Megan Bozak was in 2013. She was a top three.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll see a fourth goaltender win before a second defender.
I think you're probably right, and that makes me really sad.
I just think it's so hard.
I know. Which is, it's so tough because, like, Jamie Rabinet is someone that we've talked about on this podcast before. She's impressed a lot for Hockey Canada, even though she is still in college. And, like, you know, she deserves to be on this list. I don't think she'll make the top three.
I think we could see a goaltender in the top three this year, though.
Which one, though?
I really don't know.
Because I think
they're neck and neck,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Yeah, first and second in goals against, save percentage.
I just...
Shutouts. I'm kind of leaning Browning at this point.
See, it's funny because I'm leaning Frankel.
Why so?
I don't really know. I think... I mean, it's, like, hard because, like, obviously, like, I just see more Hockey East than ECAC.
Mm, yeah.
Just by nature of living in Boston. But I don't know. My brain just goes to Frankel. And, like, maybe that's because we've seen her with Team USA really recently and seen her, like, excel in that position. But, like, obviously that doesn't play into Patty Kaz.
Right. And I think, for me, Frankel is the better-known name. Like, she's someone who I'm like, oh, of course Erin Frankel would be in the top three. She's Erin Frankel. But, like... Lindsay Browning has a .80 goals against average. She has 11 shutouts. She has a .957 save percentage, which is only .002 behind Frankel.
Like,
and for Cornell, like, I'm thinking about with Northeastern too. You have Aaron Frankel, but you also have Alina Mueller on offense. You know, and Cornell has a good team as well, but
it's so tough.
Mm-hmm.
I just still think I'm not sure if this will be the year we see a goaltender because both of them are juniors.
I don't think
so. So we'll see them back next year.
Yeah. I don't think either of them will win, unfortunately.
Given what Daryl's done this year, I would agree.
That's the thing. I think this is Daryl's to lose. And, like, the regular season's over, right?
Or at least... Yes. Conference playoffs start on Thursday. So probably by the time you're listening to this, last night.
Yeah.
Or a few nights ago.
Yeah, I really think this one is Watts' to lose.
What I would love is a Watts, Browning, Frankel top three.
Oh, shit. Really? Is that,
wouldn't
who,
that be nuts?
Is that who you want to be in the top three, or is that who you think will be in the top three?
That's who, like, the Team Chaos in me says.
Okay.
who I think will be in the top three. Wow, I spelled forward wrong in this article, too. Do not write before you drink insufficient coffee. I could see all three of the Wisconsin players.
Oh, that would, you want to talk about chaos. That would be chaos.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that's ever happened.
When's the most recent time that's happened?
All
three players from the same team?
Recently enough that it was a thing. Oh, 2013, Amanda Kessel, Megan Bozek, Nora Ratu.
Wasn't that the undefeated year?
Minnesota, correct. That was the undefeated year.
Yeah.
I think that might have been... Once you get, like, past then, you're really testing my knowledge of where these players go.
The more I think about this, the more I'm upset that JC Gibbard isn't on this list. TBH. Anyways.
Okay. Who I actually think it will be.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, Alina.
Say it, Browning.
And a goaltender.
Boo. You got to pick.
No. It's my podcast, too, and I can do what I want to.
It's my podcast. You can do what you want. It's my podcast. You can do what you want. I'm trying to decide if Elizabeth Jaguar will make it in the top three again.
That's who I was also,
won.
Like, between that and Sarah.
Between Fillier. That and, okay. Sarah Fillier. Interesting. For top,
I don't know.
For top three?
I don't know. Now you're making me doubt everything I ever thought
about.
Sorry.
I'm like, Watts, I think, has to make it. And I think you're right in that a goalie will make it as well. What I'm trying to decide is whether Jaguar, who is technically second in the league in scoring, but she's not second by a significant amount like Watts is. So do we... Then does it become, we're looking at the MVP of a team, someone like Alina Mueller, someone like potentially Sarah Fillier, or maybe a defender. Maybe you look at Jamie Bourbonnais. If the forwards are potentially too close to call, do you potentially go to someone like Jamie Bourbonnais, who is the only frickin' defender on this list, and who is a damn good defender as well? I think it's tough, too, because technically...
That's an interesting question, actually.
It's tough.
If it's too close to call, does it go to... Like, do you just default out of the discussion?
Which
is a very mean move.
I don't think you should. But I also don't think that, like, Jamie Bourbonnais is, like, the 10th person on this list. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of, like, ranking-wise. But it is interesting to me. And, like, because technically this is an NCAA award. But I can imagine that it would probably be hard for... like, the selection committee to not also take into account players who have been called up to their national teams already or not. Like, and Bourbonnais has been, and so has...
Honestly, yeah.
A lot of players on this list, honestly.
That's a really good point, is, like, for as much as you can, like, for as much as, like, the qualifications can say only look at an NCAA season, it's still really hard to separate that, like, since humans are voting on this.
Right, you have some bias. And, like, if somebody is, say, called up to the national team, do you pay closer attention to them than other players who might be nominated anyways? And does that, like, impact your voting as well?
I mean, that's, like, a whole conversation we were having with the goaltenders.
Yeah.
You know, you have Aaron Frankel, played really well for Team USA, versus Lindsay Browning, who has flown under the radar, possibly because she's at an Ivy.
Yeah.
And also compared to Aaron.
Uh-huh. Oh, sorry, excuse me, I was yawning. Yeah, I think that's... I think Watts will probably win. But for me, the top three is going to be the most interesting, like, talking point, I think, for me.
Because I feel like who's in the top three next year, given that we only have one senior? Who's in the top three this year has a lot of implications for next season.
Two seniors, Jamie Bourbonnais and Abby Rock.
Oh, two seniors, yeah.
And then the, haha, how the turntables.
The word.
The turntables. It was right there. Michelle, I got like six numbers wrong earlier. I had to say something.
It was more the haha, the turntable.
Yeah, you're right. Shit, eight of these players are going to be coming back next year. Holy shit.
And like, I mean, looking at last year's top three, they were all seniors.
So at least one of the people in the top three will not be a senior.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so fascinating.
I mean, it's entirely possible that we don't even see a senior in the top three this year.
It really is. In my opinion, I'm not sure if I could see people voting Abby Rock into the top three on the senior qualification. But, like...
It's going to be a harder sell, opinion, I think, for Bourbonnais.
I think that's a harder sell than voting in Jamie Bourbonnais as a defender.
Yeah. You think Rock is a harder sell?
Yeah. Rock as a senior is a harder sell than Bourbonnais as a defender. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know if I agree with you, but I see where you're coming from. It's going to be an interesting... selection, that's for sure.
I think you're right, though. It's Daryl's to lose at this point. And like, I don't know how she loses it. Because like, you can't really spontaneously combust at this point.
I think the one thing that might come up with Watts is that she's on a team like Wisconsin. And it's like, you know, is she the most valuable player on a team full of talented people with, like, how many other Wisconsin forwards already on this list? But I also think that, like, she's currently the only player in the NCAA to be averaging more than 2 points per game. She's, like, significantly farther ahead than her peers on this list in scoring.
I mean, like, we've talked about before with her and, like, high-producing players on a good team. She's high-producing on a great team. Like,
yeah. And also, people know that she's good, so I think at this point in her career, she should potentially be on more teams' radars, and if you have to double-team, like, her or something, and she's still producing at just an insane rate.
Yeah, I don't know how she loses, how it's not her award already.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Show will be interesting, though.
I think we should probably wrap it up here.
Yeah.
Michelle, where can we find you on Twitter?
At Michelle_JAY3. Where can we find you on Twitter, Hannah?
You can find me at Hannah_Beavis1, P-E-V-I-S. Thank you all for listening. If you have questions that you want Michelle and I to answer, please tweet them at Michelle and I using the hashtag TopShelfMailbag. Things are going to start picking up now with playoffs and world championships coming up, so it should be an exciting end to the season. You can also listen to Beyond the Boards in this same podcast stream, a shorter interview-style podcast that Michelle and I are doing. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
We got so off track talking about USA. I just realized I went into like a whole soliloquy about Canada's gold.
Soliloquy. Oh, that's an ACT word. Love it.
I think we call them SAT words, don't we?
Well, I took the ACT, so.
I mean, same.
Yeah.